May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning. You all right? How you doing? Hope you're doing well, fighting fit, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. On this Monday morning, it has just ticked past 8 in the a.m., Greenwich Mean Time, on Monday the 26th of January in the year of our Lord 2026. And I am joined by my producer, as always, Little Harry. How are you doing, Harry? You all right?
Morning. Yeah, I'm good.
Good. All right, well, thanks for joining me. As always, you are part of the glorious band, The Chosen Few. Tuning in to Breakfast with Bo, colloquially known as the Bo Show, the BBC Breakfast with Bo, or the Breakfast Bo, Bo's Breakfast Club, Bo's Breakfast Club. Got so many names for it now, but formerly Breakfast with Bo. Thank you for tuning in. It really is all about you guys. Without you guys, it's not a thing, is it? It's just me waffling into the void. Okay, should we just jump straight into the news? It's Walter Burnham. It's Walter Burnham today. In short, the story is he got blocked. Now, we talked about it last week, didn't we? And I said, I don't think it will happen because there's too many things would have to happen, too many dominoes would have to fall just right for him. Well, it's already been scuppered. So that's the story. But that's every single front page it runs with that. So, and there's a few more details, a little bit more interesting little details about it. So we'll get into that. Pardon me, as well as the ice shooting, that's the big thing. Doesn't register much in British news. It does register a bit, but it's certainly not the main story or anything. That's the other big story in the world. So what is the world talking about today? Let's jump straight in. All right, so the front page is, first of all, in the UK, Starmer triggers Labour civil war. Well, not really, kind of, a little bit. Not quite yet. And Republicans break ranks. Do they? Okay, starting up with the eye paper then. America descends into darkness. Not really. Starmer triggers Labour civil war after blocking Burnham return. PM faces condemnation from within his own party after decision to thwart Mayor of Manchester's bid for a Westminster comeback. Labour's National Executive Committee voted 8-1 against allowing the, quote, King of the North, quote, to stand in Girton and Denton for by-election. One minister tells the Eye paper that the MP looks, quote, cowardly, while former grandee John McDonnell, true communist scumbag John McDonnell, says, quote, it will hasten your demise. Starmer allies now fear that others, such as the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, will exploit divisions to mount a leadership challenge. Quote, disappointed, quote, Burnham. That's, Burnham said he was disappointed. Who has made no secret of his ambition, hits out at, quote, the way the party is being run, quote, but says, we are stronger together. Okay, fair bit there, but that covers all the main points, actually, of the story. So, should we just dive straight into that? We've got a poll running, haven't we, Harry?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we had a poll. It's about ice, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not Burnham. Okay, all right. Still, there is a poll going. So, if you're in the chat, the Glorious Band, The Chosen Few, those that have turned up, to have a little vote on that, what you think about the ice thing. Was it justified? All right, so the Starmer, the Burnham thing, as I said on Friday, came down to the NEC, the National Executive Committee, in the Labour Party. And it's only 10 people. I actually must admit, I thought it was more than that. I didn't realise it was as few as 10 people. I thought it was more than that. But anyway, it is only 10 people. And it's just basically the very, very, very top brass of the Labour Party. So Keir Starmer himself is in it. Shabana Mahmood, the Home Secretary, is the chair of it. And then there's like various other senior ministers are in it. Like the chairman of the Labour Party is in it. In fact, she was the only one that voted in favour. So Burnham, the upshot is Burnham lost that vote 8-1. So it wasn't close. Wasn't even close. If Burnham or his allies had had better intel, knowing that that was likely to be the case, probably shouldn't have even attempted to... Well, he shouldn't have put his candidacy forward at all. Because the guy, the old guy, the old MP that's stepping down, he sort of formally did it on Friday. Andy Burnham formally puts in his sort of request to be selected on the Saturday, and they scupper it on Sunday morning. So it's all quick, quite quick. But so he lost 8-1. It wasn't close. Shabana Mahmood, apparently, as chair, abstained from the vote. So actually only 9 people voted. And he lost 8-1. So overwhelming. Apparently, insiders say that Keir Starmer himself gave an impassioned speech. Yeah, I bet he did. And their reasoning for it, it came out. He didn't even have the guts to say, "Well, I'm just undermining my political rival." No, they made up some obviously crappy, like, snake excuse. They said that it would cost too much money. If Andy Burnham was to stop being mayor of Manchester, then we'd have to have new Manchester mayoral elections, and that would cost too much. And it's not fair on the people of Manchester who already voted for Andy Burnham and all that sort of stuff. And it's just not in the best interests of the Labour Party. I feel like in politics it is best, absolutely wherever possible, to be honest, painfully honest. Like, if I was Starmer and I did this, played it like this, I really do think I would come out and say, yeah, it was because he was openly being sort of treasonous towards my leadership position, effectively. And I don't want that. I don't think that's in my interest, the government's interest, the party's interest. Just say it. Why'd you have to be so sneaky and lame about it? It's obviously because of that. No one's buying that they're worried about the cost of a new mayoral election. I just think it would be, I still think it would just be the funniest. The funniest outcome would be that Labour don't win that by-election. Go Reform. I know they're a containment project and I'm not on board, but it would still be funny if Labour lost that seat. All right, yeah, so a lot of the Burnham supporters, and Burnham himself, of course, are quite badly butthurt that Starmer's done this. But of course they would be. One of the things Andy Burnham came out and said is that he found out the news through the media. So the PM, number 10, they talked to the media before they talked to Burnham. They came out and said, bit of he said, she said, gossipy bit here, but they came out and said, oh, well, we rang Burnham, but he didn't pick up. Don't know if that's true. That's where the trail goes cold as far as the chattering classes are concerned. Apparently they did try and ring him and he didn't even bother picking it up. Or he's otherwise engaged. Who knows? And he said, you know, that shows you the way the Labour Party is being run these days. But he would say that, you know, his ambition, he will not be an MP almost certainly now, unless there's some other by-election and the Labour Party decide at that point to let him stand. That's not going to happen. He's not going to be an MP. And therefore, he's not going to be Prime Minister. So, Andy Burnham's dreams of strutting on the world stage are over. Oh, well, Andy Burnham's a dick anyway. I mean, I like him, like most people, like nearly everyone. I like him a little bit more than Keir Starmer. That's just because I loathe Keir Starmer. It's not like I like Andy Burnham. Andy Burnham's a total dick. He's a complete Blairite. He's an open borders, lefty, globalist. Ugh. Another empty shirt of a man. Another one. So don't shed a tear for Andy Burnham or his supporters. His supporters are some of the worst. like Clive Lewis or John McDonough or whatever. Good. Bye-bye, Burnham. Bye-bye. Go off and be mayor for another few years and then disappear off into obscurity when you finally lose that seat. Good one. You probably get a very, very high-paid job on like the board of some big company somewhere doing hardly any work for loads of money. Go away now. Okay. What else was of any importance? Oh, yeah, they're saying, and it's true, I think this is true, that it just sort of delays a serious leadership attempt against Keir Starmer, doesn't it? One or two people were saying that it's inevitable. It's just inevitable now that there will be an internal struggle for the top job within the Labour Party. And it will probably come either at the next local elections, when Labour almost certainly will lose loads of councils. They'll lose tons and tons of individual councillors and lose control of loads and loads of councils. That's almost certainly going to happen. They're going to get decimated. Worse than decimated. They wish it was a mere decimation. 1 in 10 a decimation. It'll probably be much worse than that. So, at that point, people are saying, probably, well, they said it about Badenoch as well, that all the Tory people are lining up ready to stick the daggers in straight after the local elections in May, is it? I think they're in May. That Kemi Badenoch's days are numbered come May. People saying the same about Starmer as well. Whether it will be Wes Streeting or, I mean, who knows? There are a few names, a few faces, aren't there, on the front bench. But, I mean, Streeting's name seems to come up increasingly so. Will he be Britain's first openly gay MP? He's openly gay, isn't he? Not going to get slandered for that. I think he is. Anyway. Not going to get done for defamation. Am I? All right. So, okay, that's Burnham. It's wall-to-wall Burnham. I thought I'd give it a few minutes at the beginning because then I won't have to keep going over and over it. But you'll just see that all the headlines are basically all about Burnham. And, yeah, so Keir's position is, I mean, they called it cowardly. It kind of is, isn't it? I mean, if you were a strong leader, a real leader of men, you know, real, proper leader, you would sort of probably allow something like this, or at least talk about it openly, not pretend it's about the Manchester mayoral elections and the cost and the logistics of that. You say, right, bring it on, I'm the leader, like, and I properly have the support. If you properly had the support, and you led in the real sense, then somebody like Andy Burnham or Wes Streeting, you say, right, bring it out in the open, let's do it, bring it out in the open, let's do it, let's see who's top dog. If you thought you were the legit anointed leader, you deserved to be there. But obviously Keir Starmer is a complete Howard in every way, certainly politically. Isn't he? No backbone. None whatsoever. Okay, let's move on. The Times, the venerable Times. Labour MPs revolt over blocking of Burnham. China purges general who leaked nuclear secrets to the US. That's an interesting story. Later we might have a quick look at the Xinhua network website. There's no mention of it in the China media or in that news organ anyway. No mention of this story at all. It's an interesting one. Xi Jinping, a.k.a. Winnie the Pooh, says, purges one of the top generals and a few other people, I believe, from their military over allegations of, like, bribery, corruption, and even leaking nuclear secrets, to the US. Of course, it's not secrets about how to build a bomb. It's not the Manhattan Project. It's not 1946. But just like things like China's strategy, if they were attacked, how they would react and where all their silos are. More stuff like that, really. I think it's interesting. It's sort of it's a real story, isn't it? Because there's still the Beckham story and other slop stories. Katie Price got married again for the fourth time. You know, so where it's not an actual slop story, let's give it a couple of minutes. It's that thing that China and Xi do seem to really, really want to stamp out corruption. And good on them, I suppose. I hate corruption. Political corruption. Who doesn't, right? What normal person that wants their country to work well doesn't? Right? Unless you're on the take, unless you're making money out of it, everyone's against it, right? And in China, it used to be completely endemic. In lots of countries, it's completely endemic. Lots and lots of countries. I mean, even in the West, it's still pretty endemic, but we sort of keep it a bit behind closed doors. We at least make an effort to pretend it's not happening or cover it up with various layers. Whereas in a lot of countries, it's just utterly, utterly out in the open. Anyway, China, all through the Mao years and into the later 70s and 80s and 90s, it was just completely endemic. And they've been trying to sort of clean up their act over the last 10, 20 years. And Xi is certainly sort of on it. And it's good for everyone, really. Again, apart from the people that actually make money out of it. It's good for the country. It's good for the good. It's good for the running of the country in general. And so anyway, Xi has always been to his credit. It's all about where credit's due. It's all about of credit, where credit's due, even to Xi Jinping. So he's got rid of a few generals, but, you know, commentators look on that and they're like, ooh, that could be something, you know, there could be something sort of there. That, you know, whenever the top political body, the top political players start mucking about with the top military players, right, that's real power plays, that's real power politics going on. You know, how much power does the military have in any given country is an important question. Because in lots of countries, for example, in Burma or Myanmar, as one example, on one far end of the spectrum, is that the military basically run everything. If there's any politics going on, it's because the military have allowed it to happen. Right? It's a military junta in all but name, or sometimes quite openly so. Just the military will send a few tanks to their parliament building, say, no, the politicians aren't doing it right, we're going to take over for a bit. Right, that's at one end of the spectrum. And then at the other end of the spectrum is something like Britain, actually, where the military, like the military chiefs, they just do exactly as they're told. There's no question, really, ever. There's just no question that our military top brass would even really try to get involved in policy. Would try and tell the defence secretary or the cabinet what they're going to do next. It's just not on the cards. No way. No. And then, of course, there's every shade in between. What's going on in China in those terms? Right? We think, don't we, that Xi is all-powerful, but we don't really know, really. Like, the actual inner workings of the Chinese state are something of a secret. I guess the people at Langley or the NSA... or the DIA, and they probably know it in a lot of detail, but most people don't really know exactly the relationships between all the top players in China and exactly the dynamic of the relationship between the military and you know, the political apparatus in China. So when something like this happens, you know, a lot of people look at it and like, ooh, I wonder if there's more going on behind the scenes there, if, you know, Xi has sort of prevented... there was some sort of coup going to happen or possibly happen or a plot and he's just nipped that in the bud, or whether it was nothing of the sort. Who knows? It's interesting, though. I find that sort of thing interesting. It's a real story, isn't it, at least? All right. Let's move on, then. The Daily Express, oh, it's a good paper. They go with Labour war as Starmer blocks Burnham bid to be MP, yeah. The Spice Girls went out for Baby Spice's 50th. So, front page news there. You know, posh putting on a brave face. The Daily Telegraph. Again, there's Burnham. A little bit of a podge going on there, Andrew. Getting old. Can't help it. Labour in revolt over Burnham's stitch-up. Yeah, they've stitched him up. On another level, though, although it's cowardly, it is cowardly a bit, isn't it, politically, from Starmer. Also, on another level, don't blame him. It's sort of part of your job to try and If you think it's in the best interest of the party and the country to, you know, not have leadership bids against you, just I would just have been honest about it. I think if I was Starmer, I think if I'd been quantum leaped into Starmer's body on Friday or Saturday, I probably would have done much the same thing. Well, I would have done the same thing, but just when I talked to the press about it, just would have been honest about it all. Just would have been upfront and honest about it. It's like, yeah, the guy wanted to try and coup me. He wanted to try and rip the party in half. I'm not going to allow that to happen. Sue me. That's what I would have done. That's what I would have said. Just be honest about it. But no, he can't. Okay, 700,000 graduates claim jobless benefits. Bit bad, isn't it? I must admit, degrees, undergrad degrees, are sort of worth less than they used to be. And I don't think that's just an old man curmudgeonly thing to say. And I mean it in a much, in a broader sense. I mean, if you go back to sort of the 1950s or the 1960s, say, an undergrad degree was sort of worth a lot more, just in the minds of employers, I mean. Even when I finished uni like 20 years ago, over 20 years ago now, I got a degree that was in the humanities, right, ancient history. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be any good at any particular normal, like, office job, right? It's not computer science or anything. I had no specific specialised skills that would help me in the workplace. Having read Herodotus doesn't mean you're going to be good at spreadsheets, does it? However, even back then, I'd go to interviews and they'd be like, reasonably impressed. Oh, you read that there, did you? You went to that uni and did that course, did you? Oh, interesting, okay. Whereas now I imagine that a lot of, you know, to the tune of 700,000, you go and get a job interview and you're like, oh, you did like tourism at Colchester University. That's worthless. You did gender studies, did you? Oh, well, there you go. I think still a proper degree, a good degree in a proper subject from a really good uni. Like you got a first in physics from like one of the better Cambridge colleges at Cambridge University. That is still of value, isn't it? Okay. ICE agents are the real victims, says US border chief after second shooting. All right, let's get into this a bit then. This is the other main story. This is one of the only headlines you've got in the whole of the Britain front pages, but... The ICE shooting. Oh, God, okay. Ugh. All right, so for anyone who doesn't know, just tell you what it is before I give my opinion and all that. In Minneapolis, again, the ICE agents were trying to deport people and some normal members of the public were getting involved and there was a kerfuffle on the street. I'm describing it as a kerfuffle. And a bloke got shot. The ICE agent shot him a bunch of times, dead. Okay. Now, the details then, the exact sort of moment-to-moment details. What I found interesting about this is less the actual sort of event itself, because there's footage of it. Anyone can just watch the footage. Loads of people have already slowed it down. What I find more interesting, really, is the reaction, because all of Sunday, or most of Sunday, I was sort of looking at Twitter a fair bit and looking at the news on and off all day long, and the different how it's played out in the public square, if you like. There's two different narratives, aren't there? So from the Tim Walz side, from the Democrat side, sort of the pro-immigration side, the anti-Trump side, they're saying it's just a murder. It's just simply, you know, a cold-hearted, completely unnecessary murder. And that Trump's America is now a fascist state. And that guy did nothing wrong. The ICE agents are evil. And on and on and on. That's their narrative. The other side of the narrative coming out from Kristi Noem. And, you know, more American patriots and stuff. Pro-Trump people. They say that the guy had a gun. And he did definitely have a gun. He had a 9mm pistol. They're saying he was like, he was, you know, a danger, a clear and present danger, resisting arrest. He was resisting arrest. And that the ICE agents fired in self-defense and that he's a domestic terrorist. Christy Noam called him a domestic terrorist, I believe. Or she did, yeah. So, they're the two narratives. Let's start there. And then, so then we can drill down into exactly what happened. And it got real murky real quick. You know, people saying, oh, he didn't have a gun, it was a mobile phone. And then later it emerges that he did have a gun. Did definitely have a gun. And then they're like saying, oh, but it was like in his waistband. He never actually got it out. He never like pulled it out and like pointed it at them. And I was going, yes, he did. And then there's another image, like the instant he's getting shot, and he seems to be holding something in his hand, but it's neither a phone nor a gun. And then other people saying, well, that's an AI image though. Right. It gets murky real quick. Thing I would say, I suppose if I just give you my take on it is this. I'll probably catch some flack for this from the audience, but hey. Once again, another quick element says that one ICE agent, when the guy's on the ground, pulled the gun either out of his pocket or out of his waistband, disarmed him of his gun. And as he was sort of backing away, there's a suggestion that maybe that gun went off sort of accidentally, in an accidental discharge, and that spooked the other ICE agents, and that's what made them start shooting. Because it does look like when they shot him, he didn't have anything in his hands, or certainly not a gun. Anyway, okay, so anyway. So my take is this. Again, if I was one of those ICE agents, I wouldn't have started blasting. However, I can't escape the feeling that if he hadn't gone there, and if he didn't have a gun at all, and if he wasn't resisting arrest, he would be alive right now. Surely that's true, isn't it? Surely that's true. The ICE agents are doing their thang, and he inserted himself into that. Don't do that. If you're really gonna do that, probably don't take a gun, even if it is just in your belt. Probably don't do that. And then when there's like five ICE agents wrestling you to the ground, they feel the need to pepper spray you and sort of uppercut you in the face because you're resisting arrest. Don't turtle up and resist arrest at that point. He got himself killed. I think he got himself killed. Yeah, if I was one of those ICE agents, I never saw that guy pointing a gun at me or anything, so I probably wouldn't have shot him. But there you go. The other thing, which is fair to say, I think it's fair to say, and that people say that defending, they're on like the ICE agent side of the ledger, they say it's all very well to watch it in super slow motion 20 times on the internet. In the moment, the ICE agents haven't got that luxury. That's a fair thing to say. That's, you know, their blood was up. They don't want to get shot. They want to go home that day. Well, donut operator always says that. Right? They're going to go home. So if they're worried that they might even get shot, they start blasting. Even remotely, you know, 1% in their mind. Oh my God, bang, 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 bang. So don't insert yourself into these things whilst armed and then resist arrest. If he hadn't done what he had done, he would be alive, wouldn't he? Would he not? All right, that's my take. That's my feelings about it. Take it or leave it. All right, what else we got? The Daily Mail. Oh, look, Posh and Baby. There. They're putting a brave face. Okay. PM warned he'll inevitably face a leadership challenge after he ignites Labour civil war by personally helping to block Burnham's return. Lame duck Starmer has only hastened his demise. He's a lame duck now, according to Daily Mail. A lame duck. I mean, he's not. Really. Has his authority been undermined on some meta level? Yeah. Good. I hope the Labour Party rips itself apart. Sort of Boris Rishi style. That'd be nice. The Metro. Harry. Cotton picking Metro. Jeez Louise. All right. Labour leadership crisis deepening. Burnham bid for comeback thwarted by a wary Starmer. Yeah, okay. The Financial Times. Republicans break ranks as Trump faces rising backlash after shooting. Not sure if he does particularly. Second Minneapolis death stirs fury. Immigration push under fire. Democrats threaten shutdown. Yeah, like, those on the left, of course, you know, enemies of America and the social fabric of the United States, they're saying, oh, this is a massive thing. This will haunt the consciousness of America forever. No, I doubt it. I really doubt it. Like, there's like this massive rally. It's not that big. Look, you can see just, you know, 10, 15 rows deep, and then there's no one. It's not that big of a deal. I think most Americans that don't like the fact that their country has been invaded by millions of people, millions more people under the Biden administration, I think they want their country back. I think they, most normal Americans would like to see loads and loads of the invaders sent back to where they came from, I think. Democrats threaten shutdown, do they? Well, the federal government's far more powerful than the democratic authorities in Minneapolis, so they can bitch and moan all they like, but Trump holds the levers of power, really, doesn't he? So, but apparently Trump doesn't like it. I did see a headline there saying Trump's not happy about it. Well, one way or another, even if the ICE agents were justified, still doesn't look good, right? The just the optics of it are not brilliant, are they? We can... Anyway. Labour tensions mount as Burnham blocked from standing in by-election. Okay, The Guardian. The Guardian. Labour faces risk of party civil war after PM blocks Burnham return. The sickening lies. The sickening lies around that shooting. Not the sickening lies that Waltz said. Not the sickening lies about, you know, diversity being a strength and open borders being a good thing or anything. Not those sickening lies, no. No. I mean, Kristi Noem called him a domestic terrorist. And there were, I did see some evidence floating around Twitter saying he was involved in some sort of actual group, movement or organisation, one thing or another, that was, like, you know, deliberately trying to target ICE operations and, you know, disrupt ICE operations. I don't know if that's true. That's just scuttlebutt I saw on Twitter. I think we'll have to wait to see before those things are, you know, really, really confirmed one way or another. But anyway, yeah, there's loads of stuff flying around. Like, already it's a psyop. He's not really that guy. He's a Mossad agent, or he's actually like some sort of sex criminal in his private life, and all sorts of stuff flying around on both sides. It's crazy, isn't it, now? The open forum. I like it, though. It's interesting. It's funny. It's mad. It's mad. Anything that could be said or alleged is. Okay, The Mirror. Still going with the Spice Girls there. Labour civil war erupts. Strong storm tactics. The Mirror. Okay. The Sun. They go with Katie Price getting married. Jordan. Deary me. Katie married at first sight. So the guy, she's her fourth hubby, this fella. They only met a few days ago. Apparently, he tried to marry someone else just a few weeks back. I guess he got a knockback from that. And he proposed to that woman, whoever she was, in exactly the same way as the way he proposed to Katie Price. Okay, who cares? Moving on. We don't want slop. The Bow Show is going to keep slop to a minimum. So we'll just quickly move on from that. Key crisis over MP ban. Crash and Burnham. Poor, isn't it? Crash and Burnham, really? Crash and Burnham. Okay. The Independent. Trump backs down in row over British soldiers, describing them as great and very brave. That's a little bit in the news over the weekend has been interesting, where, if you remember, we covered it on the show on Friday, where he seemed to suggest that NATO troops in Afghanistan didn't do as much fighting as perhaps they could have done. There was backlash about that. He's backed down or rode that back a little bit, saying that Britain, at least, were great and very brave. So there you go. Storm in a teacup thing. I think he was talking much more broadly about NATO rather than specifically the British contribution in Helmand. But anyway, all right. Burnham takes a fight to Starmer with bid to become MP. Failed bid. Oh, look. Jay from the Inbetweeners is on the front page of the Star. The Star thinks that's the most important thing today. That Jay from the Inbetweeners has made something on the order of £2 million. Well, he's got a podcast. It's not bad, actually. I've watched a bit of it. It's just him and his wife, his missus, sitting there talking about stuff. That's it. It's quite good. It's all right. He's a reasonably entertaining bloke. He's got some funny takes. He's quite funny. Their dynamic is pretty good. Yeah, and he's obviously made a whole lot of money from it. That's it. That's what the Star thinks is front page news today. I don't get out of bed for less than £2 million. And they've photoshopped him. It's slop, isn't it? Real slop. All right, then. Well, let's just move straight on to the websites. Although, let's do the poll. Let's see what the poll said. We asked about, what did we ask? The ice, was the ice killing justified, did we ask? Okay. Yeah, was the ice shooting justified? Oh, and it's come back. 77% of you say, yes, it was justified. 77%. Well, there you go. I would largely agree with that. That does sort of mirror my feeling. That there's a decent chunk of me is like, you know, I wouldn't have. It's easy to say sitting here in hindsight, isn't it? So easy to say, well, I wouldn't have. Yeah, a chunk of me feels like I wouldn't have shot him. When the bullets entered his body, he didn't have any gun on him. So it's like, but then the main part of me, the majority of my thoughts and feelings on it is, you got yourself killed, mate. So yeah, that 77% sort of does, it's good. It's good that me and my audience have nearly always got more or less exactly the same thoughts and feelings about stuff. We've yet to have a poll, haven't we, where it's a stark contrast between my take and what you guys think. We haven't had that yet. It'll happen one day. I'm sure it will happen one day. I'll be in trouble with my own audience. But so far, we're good. We're good. It's all good. Okay. Let's have a look at the websites then. Let's have a look at ye olde websites. Right, the BBC. They lead with the Minneapolis protest stuff, but we've talked about that, so we'll move on. Yeah, analysing it frame by frame. Captain Hindsight. The Burnham thing. Oh, this is an interesting story. Just about the MI5. Military Intelligence 5. The internal security services for the UK. It's just quite an interesting story. Basically, sort of looking at who gets to decide what's secret and what's not. And when MI5 decide to release secrets. Like, what is that process? How does all that work? It's interesting. It focuses on a story back from the 80s, I believe, or 90s, in Northern Ireland. There's one particular murder in Northern Ireland during the Troubles, the late Troubles. just looking at that in a bit of detail is like, why and when are things secret? It's interesting. I thought that was quite interesting. Russia using Interpol's wanted list to target critics abroad, leak reveals. Yeah, it's no surprise to me, yeah. Yeah, Russia and Putin do lots of stuff abroad. I mean, you remember the Novichok stuff, don't we? We all remember that. Litvinenko, remember Sasha. I said that as a bit of a joke. I really mean it. Remember Sasha Litvinenko. His murder. Yeah, where I cast shade at Zelensky in Ukraine, very openly. Again, some people think I'm some sort of shield for Russia. Not at all. I do, like the Russian state, the Russian government and Putin, they are ruthless SOBs. They really are. The number of journalists that, like, you know, critics of Putin that just disappear and get murdered in Russia. It's mad. And abroad, the number of, like, poisonings and murders of political enemies abroad and stuff. Yeah. They're pretty ruthless. Yeah. I would never, ever actually fully, you know, overtly support the Russian regime. Really? No way. That's why I'm not. That's why I don't want anything to do with the Ukraine conflict. Both sides are like scumbags, as far as I'm concerned. Both sides. I would like it that. I would like to see no more killing over that bit of land, one way or another. If it means Ukraine has to actually cede land, well, you've probably got to at some point, haven't you, at this stage? You're not able to win on the battlefield, so, well, anyway. Yeah, story there that Russia are scumbags. Yep. Make sure people pupils don't overuse phones at school. All right. Mahmood to call for more police patrols and faster responses to 999 calls. That is one of the bigger stories in Britain at the moment, is that the Home Office are looking to make either make the 42 or 43 different police jurisdictions in the UK, just make them into 12 bigger ones. They're saying that'll be more efficient, that'll be better. Or even make one overarching police force, like an FBI type thing, for Britain, that just concentrate on, you know, the worst crimes, murders and rapes and organised crime and stuff, and let the normal police just deal with burglaries and car thefts and stuff. Whether it will ever happen, we don't know, because, well, not anytime soon, because when you look into the details of all these different stories, it's like, well, we haven't worked out budgets for it, and with the best will in the world, it won't happen until the 2030s. So it's like, so it won't happen under this Labour government. It certainly won't. So Shabana Mahmood can talk big all she wants. She's not going to be in power in 3 years, 3.5 years, whatever it is. So she can talk big, stand up in Parliament, say some words, get even a white paper written or whatever. It'll be someone else that actually pulls the trigger on it and does it and oversees it and makes it happen, if it ever happens. Okay. Gold tops $5,000 for first time ever, adding to historic rally. Yeah, that's interesting, a bit worrying, unless you've got gold, in which case, laughing all the way to the bank, aren't you? A little bit worrying, I would say, just because, it suggests that confidence in basically all other markets are really low. Right? If you've got money to invest, it's quite as simple as this, if you've got money to invest, right, you want a return on your investment, don't you? Of course, obviously. And you can invest in all sorts of different things, can't you? Not just equities, right? It's not just a case. You don't have to just put your money in companies. Like, I'll go and buy a little bit of stock that's on the Dow Jones or the FTSE or the NASDAQ or something. It doesn't have to be equities. It could be any number of different things. In commodities, in funds. Funds of funds. You could play around with the foreign exchange markets or whatever, or you could put it in something like precious metals. And gold is, of course, famously the safest of the safe. It's super, super, super duper safe. So when the price goes up, i.e. demand is going up, what it means is that people that have got money to invest, and I'm not talking about just normal people like you or I that have got a few hundred quid or maybe a few grand to play with, or even rich people that have got a few tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands to play with. I'm talking about big, big investment firms and pension funds and national governments even, moving millions, even hundreds of millions, even billions around. Those people, they're like, I've got no faith in any of these things doing well. Gold, right, I'm putting my money in gold, that's safe. You can bank on that. It just suggests, doesn't it, that there might be something coming down the pipeline, some sort of big financial crisis coming, because those in the know are thinking, I don't want any part of this action, anything other than gold. I don't want any part of it. It's too risky, you know. The art of risk management. I'm just going to slowly back away from any sort of risk management whatsoever and just put my money in gold, where there's no risk, essentially. I mean, there is still a bit, but... it's a little bit worrying. All right, let's move on then. Let's have a look. ITV. It's all much the same. The Burnham stuff. Was there actually anything of different? Okay, let's have a look at Sky News. Clinton and Obama urge Americans to stand up as Trump considers Insurrection Act in Minneapolis. Oh, Dune, thanks for that, Bill. Thanks for that, Barrack. Brilliant, thank you, yes. Urging Americans to stand up. What? Take part in an insurrection against the state. Is that not an insurrection? January the 6th was an insurrection, was it? Of course it wasn't. But this isn't. Saying that, that's allowed, is it? That's okay. It's a bit irresponsible, isn't it? It's a bit irresponsible of Clinton and Obama. Is it not? Just to encourage people to fight against the police and border force. Stand up. What do you mean stand up? What do you mean? Bill Barrack. What are you talking about? What exactly does that mean? All right. More Burnham stuff. Really bad weather in the United States. Some part of the United States. Really bad weather. Massive snow drifts at the moment. Okay, let's have a look at the Mail Online. Ice under fire. Ice baby. Okay, lame duck Starmer. There was one story I saw here. What was it? I thought it was quite interesting. Oh, yeah, this story. I don't know if you saw this at all. There was this initiative in Holland, near Amsterdam, where they thought, what we'll do to create, you know, to show that globalisation and multicultural, multi-ethnic societies are really great, is what we'll do in this particular accommodation block, we'll put loads of students, young people, in with immigrants. Well, it turned into a complete nightmare where there was tons and tons of sex crime. And the whole place became a complete mess. Literally, physically, just a complete mess. Turned into like a third world hellhole. Where all sorts of terrible, terrible crimes were through the roof. Brilliant. I mean, it's mad, isn't it? They must be mad. Literally mad. To just keep forcing this on us. And just import people from the subcontinent or the Near East or North Africa and throw them in with young people, young women and stuff. Yeah, it'll be fine. They're the same as us, aren't they? No, they're not. No, they're not. How an idealistic Dutch project to house refugees and students together in a custom-built block became a nightmare of sexual assaults and violence. Yeah. And we're the evil ones for noticing that. We're the evil ones. We're the evil bigots for noticing reality. Are we? Are we though? Can't go on forever. Will not go on forever. Remigration is inevitable. The Express. What have they got? Oh, yeah. This story, I thought, it says, there's a big picture of Shamina Begum. And it says, Britain secretly brings home ISIS-linked woman and children from Syria camps. When you look into it, it's some ex-ISIS people have been secretly allowed back to Britain. But not Shamina Begum herself. Classic news thing, isn't it? Classic, more tabloidy thing to do is have a headline and an image. And you obviously come to the conclusion of what it's saying. And it's not actually saying that. It's a different ISIS woman. Different ISIS women and children. Not Begum herself. Yet they've put a big picture of Begum on it. So, like, it'll make you click on it. Well, it worked for me. That sort of thing does work, doesn't it? It does work. You're like, what? Really? What? Let me read that. I've got to make sure. Oh, no. Okay, it's not her herself. But the point is, it's still bad, though, isn't it? I don't want any ex-ISIS people. Not one of them. If you made any sort of conscious decision, any conscious decision, to go and join ISIS, I don't want you in my country ever again. So there you go. All right, let's move on. The Sun. What slop have we got? Oh, yeah, Jordan. Dear God. Andy Burnham with a little old lady there. Sex tourism. The Beckhams. It's real slop, isn't it? A man that killed his own baby. Holly Willoughby. I mean, it's proper slop today in The Sun. Let's just move on from it. All right, the New York Slimes. What's going on in the New York Slimes? Much of the same thing, dominated by the shooting. I've noticed we've only got about 10 minutes left, so let's just move on to something a bit different. What about the Aussie news? How good. Well, yeah, the Australia Day. In Australia today, it is Australia Day, i.e. a day when patriots, Australian patriots, can celebrate their nation. Well, it's used as a day when all their antagonists, all the traitors and fifth columnists come out, and they just call it, they call it Invasion Day. And they burn the Australian flag and stuff. Lovely. Lovely. Brilliant. You might think that Invasion Day, you might think, oh, that's about Australia being invaded by foreign people, and it's a protest against them being demographically replaced and all that sort of stuff. No, it's about the evil white European descended invasion. That invasion. On Australia Day. The exact day. Of course, they've got to take it, isn't it? Of course. That's why Muslims do stuff in and around Christmas and New Year. Or on Remembrance Day. Or something. Because it's a day we hold dear, so they'll ruin it. Of course. Classic. All right, one particular person's provocative new single, Don't Care. Don Bradman's hat goes on sale. One of the greatest cricketers of all time, if you didn't know. All right, let's move on from that. What have we got in Japan? Let's have a quick look at Japan. It's funny thing. It's always funny things out of Japan. Rarely anything of, like, real import. What did we have? I saw one or two little things. Building of nuclear power stations in South Korea, they were talking about. All right. The Chinese, yeah, just to show you here, at least at the top of the Xinhua network, there's no talk of that, of generals being replaced or anything. There's no talk of it. It's the classic stuff. Xi leads China's diplomacy to usher in new chapter in turbulent world. China's commercial space industry hits high gear, expanding beyond launches. A thing about gold. New dawn. Only long nightmare. What did 23 years of US intervention teach us in Iraq? Interesting. All right, same sort of thing coming out of China. The Ruskies, what are they saying? US egoism is dismantling New START to be globally unpopular. New START, if anyone doesn't know, is a nuclear disarmament treaty. You know, where Russia and America basically say, let's both sort of reduce how many nukes we've got, because that's best, isn't it, for both of us and the whole world and humanity. Let's do that. That's what the New START is. Over the years, there's been many, many, going back to the 70s, going back to Nixon and the SALT talks. And anyway, that's what New START is. And the Russians are saying that US egoism is dismantling all of that. They may well be right, I don't know. They also say Iranian Foreign Ministry denies Western media reports that 30,000 were killed during the unrest in Iran. Well, you know, who knows? Who knows what the true numbers were there? Of course, the Iranian regime would say that the higher number Western media are saying isn't true. I kind of find it difficult to believe, to take on faith, either side, right? Western-backed media that are in the pocket of the State Department or whoever. And then the Iranian regime themselves. Can either of those sides be trusted on numbers? Not really, can they? Really? All right. Let's move on. What are the Germans talking about today? A big car crash. I said I would consider replacing Bild with another German one. But I looked at it a bit at the weekend, and it really is sort of the biggest news organ in Germany. So sloppy as it is, I'm going to keep it. But I just won't spend all that much time on it. Oh, yeah, Alex Honnold there. I was going to talk about this earlier, but if anyone who knows Alex Honnold, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, living free climber in the world, climbed up the outside, being allowed to by the authorities, he climbed up the outside of the Taipei 101 building in Taiwan, one of the tallest buildings in the world, 101 floors, without any ropes or any backup, just a bit of chalk for his hands. That's it. He climbed up the outside of it. Insane. There was a documentary all about him. I think it won an Oscar, actually. About him climbing El Capitan, one of the most difficult cliff faces in the world. any climbing. Again, free climbing. That is without any ropes. He was on Joe Rogan once. Very, very interesting individual, I think. Well, he in and of himself isn't all that interesting. But what he does is fascinating. Incredible. Incredible. In fact, I wonder if... Well, there he is standing at the very top of it.
Am Ende steht er ganz oben.
Let's not have any German commentary on it. But yeah, there he is. I just think absolutely crazy. And there's a few clips where he's... I see him climbing around bits of the tower that he needn't really have climbed, like making it a little bit more difficult for himself, deliberately. I think, I might be wrong, because I'm no free climber, right? I think it was easy for him. Like that bit, look at that bit. He doesn't need to be climbing around that feature of the building. Doesn't need to be doing that, from what I could see. Yeah, I think his skill set climbing up that was not technically all that difficult. But still, I mean, wow. I've got nothing but awe for people that do remarkable things like that, remarkable feats. I couldn't do it. My legs would go to jelly. I couldn't do it. I haven't got the grip strength. You ever try climbing? If you haven't got grip strength, you haven't got good forearms, decent shoulders, there's no way. All right, moving on. The French. Former French Prime Minister Gabriel Attal pushes ahead with presidential bid despite doubts within party. So it looks like there will be, and there's talk of other people, Philippe hopes to succeed Macron. That I feel like Macron's time in power is coming to an end. Not imminently, probably not imminently anyway, but at the next presidential election, if it's not Le Pen... She might even be in prison. If it's not Le Pen's party, someone else will probably be French president in the next few years, next couple of years or so. I can't see Macron holding on for all that much longer. Okay. Space and science. We are getting right to the top of the hour. Let's go to space. Space stuff. There was a great launch at the weekend, the SpaceX launch textbook. It launched perfectly, did its mission perfectly, splashed down in the ocean and blew up, but it was supposed to do that. It was supposed to do that. That wasn't a fail. In fact, the fact that Starship didn't blow up on re-entry was interesting. They were sort of testing it to the limit. They sort of expected that it very may well break up on re-entry. You know, it's like you deliberately test things to destruction, right? And it didn't. It survived it. So it was actually a roaring success, the SpaceX launch over the weekend. Oh, there's a story here that NASA and the DOE, what's that, Department of Energy, to collaborate on lunar nuclear reactor development. Okay, that's cool, because you'll need power. If we're going to have permanent or semi-permanent manned bases on the moon, which is the idea, if we're going to go to Mars, we'll need something like that. You want power, you're going to need power there, aren't you? So reactors for power. They're working on that now. There's a picture of the. There you go, there's a lovely picture, isn't it? Those are giant rockets, by the way. They're on the scale of Saturn V. The biggest rocket, you know. This gigantic thing. Can only imagine the noise and, like, the feel of it. I'd love to go to Cape Kennedy. Or is it Cape Canaveral? They keep changing it, don't they? I say keep changing it. They probably haven't changed it for 20 years. But so either Cape Kennedy or Cape Canaveral. I can never remember which one. I'd love to go there and experience a launch. You've still got to stand like 5 miles away or 10 miles away or whatever or more. But the noise and the rumble through the earth and the visual spectacle and everything. I'd love to do that. I'd love to see that. That's on my bucket list. Maybe one day. All right. Let's have a look on this day in history for just a few minutes right at the top. Because people like that. I like it. People do seem to genuinely like it, and I enjoy it. So, on this day, the 26th of January, in the year 1482, the Jewish Bible is first printed as a book in Bologna. Just reminds you, doesn't it, how relatively modern printing is. I mean, we are going back to the 15th century there. But nonetheless, you think, what? It's never been in book form before that, throughout the entire ancient world. It was as late as the 15th century, yeah. In 1531, Lisbon was hit by an earthquake and about 30,000 people die. Mad, isn't it? Probably never heard of that one. I'm not sure I have. Well, buildings weren't built to high spec back then, weren't they? Okay, in 1564, the Council of Trent issued its conclusions in the Tridentium, establishing a distinction, sort of formal distinction, between the Roman Catholics and Protestants. So, yeah, the Council of Trent is a very, very important thing in the history of religion in Europe, in Western Europe anyway. Yeah, where the Catholic Church sort of couldn't really deny that there'd been some sort of split or schism, right? Can't really deny anymore that Lutheranism and Calvinism and things, that they're not just going to die out and go away. The Council of Trent, very important, very interesting. In 1788, Captain Arthur Phillip and British colonists hoist the Union flag at Sydney Cove, New South Wales, now celebrated as Australia Day, referred to as Invasion Day by First Nations people. In 1998, Bill Clinton says, "I want to say one thing to the American people. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." End quote. Well, I don't want to get too crude because it's a breakfast show. In fact, it's difficult to talk about it with any detail without immediately getting too crude for a breakfast show. But let's just say, although he didn't have sort of full sexual relations with Miss Lewinsky, all sorts of stuff did go on. All sorts of stuff. And so, anyone that knows the details will know that to say that he did not have sexual relations with that woman is like right at the outer limit of saying what's true. Most people would say that what they did, the various things they did, probably would constitute sexual relations, even if it's not fourth base. All right then. Oh, one last one. In 1926, John Logie Baird gives the first public demonstration of television in his laboratory in London. So yeah, it's the birthday of TV. Well, it's 100 years, right? Yeah, 1926. It's the 100th birthday of TV today. How about that? An auspicious day. All right, let's read the Super Chats and the Rumble Rants. Okay, so TomRat247 on Rumble says, lean into the nuclear Bo. You know you want to. Gene Hackman maxing today. Yeah, I must say, I want to say it correctly. But it's just my accent, where I was born, where I was grew up, just, I do say it incorrectly if I'm not very, very careful, don't I? Okay, on YouTube, we've got Mr. Gently Benevolent says, being a penal colony resident, I choose to view this show as Dinner with Dade rather than The Breakfast Club. Yeah, cool, nice. Yeah, I've had various comments from around the world saying, it's all very well you talking about it being breakfast, it being 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. For me, it's like the middle of the night or it's tea time or whatever. I live in Australia, I live in the West Coast, or, you know, all sorts of things. Yeah. It's funny, it's interesting. Thank you for that, though, Mr. Gently Benevolent. Okay. The Fenlander, 1665, says, can we have an unsure in the polls, please? Okay, yeah, good feedback. Good feedback. Harry, let's do that. Going forward, if the thing we say sort of warrants it, yeah, we'll try and do. You can have three options, can't we, on those polls?
Yeah.
Okay, so if and when there's any sort of unsure or something, we'll put that in. Remember to put that in future. Okay, and so Jukes 149 says, Cole was right in his stream. It's insurrection. Yeah, I saw that Cole was doing a live stream yesterday on his channel talking about that it's insurrection. I saw the thumb, but I haven't clicked on it and watched that video yet. But, yeah, I mean, it's difficult not to see it as, at least, at the very least, to be as kind as possible, not moving towards insurrection territory. Clinton and Obama saying that, stand up against ICE agents. What do you think? What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're causing there? Okay, it is now 3 minutes past nine in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Monday the 26th of January in the year of our Lord 2026. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Try and make it count if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. I know it's not always easy. It's not always possible. Sometimes you've got to spend the day doing your tax returns or something, right? And you can't seize the day. I get that. But if you can, try and make it count. You won't have this day again. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's probably later than you think. So if you can, make the most of it. All right, until tomorrow's morning then. Take care.